through this whole worship, what has just happened? The Spirit and the love of God invaded your mind and my mind first. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, the battle of the mind. And because of that, God gives the glory for whatever we put in our minds. So the next several weeks, today, we'll be looking at the battle of the minds. Next week, we'll look at what real courage is. There's lots of courage out there, but what is real courage? The following week, we'll look at rescuing the heart. What is that? And if our pastor makes it back by Mother's Day, which he probably will, if I don't get to do that part, it'll be like no place like home, but with a question mark. What is that? So we're going to look at these different things the next several weeks, and thank you so much for allowing me to do this, because you really do. I'm challenged in my own life. If you'll take out your worship guide, you will see a little insert. I like to do this. You can write things down, and hopefully we can keep up. And I know what's going to happen with all of these. They're going to go somewhere else. But you might want to stick something in your Bible or write it in the Word of God, some thoughts, some truth that God may share with you today. Now, as we've just sung about it, we have just sung about the greatness and our powerful God. There is only one God. There is only one Lord. There is only one baptism. And there is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, He is powerful when we look at all, and His greatness is shown when you look at creation, when you look at all the things that we can see. But God is also powerful in His Word. He's very powerful in His Word, and He speaks to us through His Word. But what is the most powerful aspect of God? The most powerful aspect is His love. Everything that has been created is created out of His love. God is love and works by love, by nothing else than love. The power and the presence of God in this world is love. Now, God's love is not ruled by emotions. God's love is pure. God's love is holy. It is righteous and is unconditional. That's what I love about God so much, that when we come to Christ and we belong to Him, God's love is unconditional. So, with that, He created people. He created all of us. And in walking through this, there's kind of three aspects to our personhood, or what we're made of. The first is obviously we have a physical body, do we not? We work in the physical world. You may not like what that looks like right now, but that's okay. It is your body. Live with it and hopefully do the best with it and eat right and all that kind of stuff. So we have our physical body. But we also have a spirit within us. This spirit, God put in every human being to worship Him. Why do you think we have all these different religions and some way out stuff? There's this craving, this heart's desire to worship something that's greater than ourselves. And the only way we can really worship something greater than ourselves is to worship God through Jesus Christ. So when that spirit's made alive in Christ, we have a relationship, a love relationship with God. That's what the Spirit does. Then is the soul. This used to confuse me so much, and even working through this has helped me. What is the soul? The soul is your mind. The soul is your will, your ambition, your emotions, your feeling, your conscience, and your moral compass. All of that is the soul. That's what separates us from animals and other wild, crazy creatures. We have a soul that God has given us. Now, with all that in place, God did create a perfect environment. You know what that is if you've been in church enough or going to church long enough, and that is the Garden of Eden. It was perfect. Think about it. No sin, no death, no shame, no guilt. I mean, you can go on and on. And we don't know how long that really lasted, but it was perfect, and they walked with God and had a relationship. But then it began to unravel. And here's something that just kind of blows me away when you think about it. It came as a result of one thought. One thought. In the garden, yes, was the tree of knowledge, is what he said. And they told Adam and Eve, you know, you're not supposed to eat it at the tree, because if you do, what's going to happen? You die. You cease to exist. And even you die your presence from God's presence. You just simply die. And they believe that. But what happened when the king of all accusers and liar comes along and he says this? This great and powerful relationship starts to unfold right here. He says in the scripture, "You will not surely die, for he knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." That was it. That's all he's told her. What happened? The more you dwell on it, even all this perfect thing, the curiosity perhaps, the desire to know what evil was, because you know what? In the Garden of Eden, at that point, there was no evil. Think about that. Then all of a sudden, they acted on what God told them not to do, the disobedience. Many people think that the taking of the fruit was the sin. That was not. That's the manifestation of it. The sin started in the mind, started right there in the thinking. Remember, the mind controls all the other aspects of our being, our thoughts and emotions and moral compass and all that kind of stuff. Then she passed it on to Adam. And then because of that sin, it came crashing down on everybody and through all human history. And we deal with that today. So that's where we are. Now, you and I are programmed by what we have learned from the moment we are born. Everything that you have learned up to this point, whether you're 12, 13, 15, in the 40s, 50s, or whatever you are, you have been programmed already for what we have learned. And what I want you to read, and you already taken that, if you see some of the notes there right up or at the first here, here's the thought that I have learned from doing this. The mind is the door through which the power of God's love enters your life. That's the first thing you would write. The mind. That's where God loves enters our thoughts and our beings, through the way we think. In order to have a new life, we need a new way of thinking, don't we? And that new way of thinking is God's way led by God's Spirit. Now, a lot of times, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. A lot of times we would refer to that as a conversion experience. It's a one-time thing. But it is not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. And if you want freshness, if I want freshness in my life and in your life for tomorrow, the next day, then we need to let God's love fill our minds through that. So I'm going to give you some examples here. Let's go to the next point, number one. This is a mind filled without God's love. You might just want to write that down. This is a mind that feels without God's love. First point here, under that. We'll give you a thought here. And you may be feeling this way this morning, but here's a thought. I am unworthy. Now, if you're here feeling like I am unworthy, how have those kind of thinking dominate your life, the feeling is that maybe you don't deserve God's goodness. That just don't deserve. I struggle with that. I honestly do. It doesn't dominate my life, but when somebody wants to even pay a compliment and stuff, I feel like I don't deserve it. And that's really kind of dumb because we ought to be encouraging one another. But those feelings are real, and our actions will be we don't receive the goodness with gratitude. That's just one thought. Another thought that everybody might have experienced is my life is insignificant. Bottom line, it doesn't mean a thing to anybody. It's insignificant, and when we have those type of thoughts, we have a feeling of no purpose, perhaps. And that gives into an action of depressed, angry, sad, resentful. And that kind of dominates our thoughts more than God's love in our mind. Now, there's some other things I want to mention to you today that are not on the screen. You may want to write this down. A mind that is not filled with God's love is focused inward. We turn to ourselves. We concentrate more on our needs. I have to have my needs to be met. I am the one that deserves this. I am entitled. I, me, and my. You start going that route, and that starts to fill your mind more so than God's love. If we choose not to invite God's power and love to our minds, guess what happens? Worry, fear, distractions, and sin steal our peace. All those things start to steal our peace with God, and we will not recognize the powerful God we serve. That can happen in a church ministry anywhere. You can become routine involved, but yet God's love as it has already this morning with us today, has really filled our minds. Therefore, it doesn't fill our hearts. Some other actions are maybe behaviors or actions that are ungodly. But lastly, negative thinking or fantasy thinking. A lot of people live in a fantasy world where they dominate so much. If I were dreaming, if I were like this, or I was doing this, or I was with that person, or had that job, we fantasize things and we kind of leave reality a little bit. You know, our mind wanders. That's what happens when our mind is not filled with God's love. Now, what does the Bible say about that? Here's what it says about that. Romans 1:21 says, "Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like." Do we not see that today? There are churches and ministry and very godly people who are going to heaven but are now questioning parts of Scripture. Did God really say you can't live that lifestyle? Did God really say you don't need to be in that kind of behavior? It's kind of a gray area. What did God really say? See my point? We can start justifying and being filled with what our pastor has said, with delusion even. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. And that's what happens. When we go away from God's way, our minds start to kind of get a little confused and not know where it's going. Ephesians 4:18 says, "Their minds are full of darkness. They wandered far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and have hardened their hearts." The heart entails the whole soul, the whole being. Everything is closed off. They may show up on a Sunday morning, that's it. What's going on in your life the rest of the week? And how is God great and powerful in your life the rest of the week? So that is the battle for the mind. It really is. That's all. That's big battle. And the question is, can God be great and powerful in our minds? And the answer is, hallelujah, yes. That's why it's called the good news. Now, I like to kind of get on the internet and look for different things. And I found this subject called the positive thinking doctor. And I'm going, okay, this is going to be a doozy here. This one's going to probably weigh out stuff. So I clicked on it and started reading it, and praise God. It is an eye surgeon who on the side does positive thinking seminars, but it's all scripture and God-based. How about that? Because see, the terminology positive thinking kind of sounds like New Age type stuff, you know. And his name is Dr. David Abbott, an eye surgeon. And I want to read this to you as we get into this, because what this is what we first wrote in your worship guide here, is the premise for the whole morning here. This is what he said. God designed your mind to be the door which the power of his love flows into your life. Now, he goes on to say, your mind is where God's love is brought to bear on the problems of your life. I went, whoa, I never thought about that. Because when I start doing problems, problem thinking, and God gives us a free will to think out those things and problems, but when they start dominating my mind, you can't get something resolved. Rarely do I think God's love is coming first to help work that problem out in my life. I try to work it out a lot of different ways. And that's what he's talking about, letting God's love invade your mind. But he goes on and said, it wasn't the mind that made them take place. Because God's love, with God's power, miraculous things happen. It was God's love that made the miracles come to pass. And I did not write this on the screen. I wish I had. But I'm going to say it, repeat it a couple of times. You may want to write this down. You can change your life by changing what you put in your mind. There it is, people. You can change your life by changing what you put in your mind first, especially when it is God's love you allow inside. Now, if you think about that, the flip side is okay. It means totally different. You can change your life for the worse or the more complicated by what you put in your mind as well. And I don't know you, I've lived long enough, I'm tired of living complicated. So if we're going to live more with peace and more understanding and direction, that means God's love has got to really permeate my mind 24/7, 7 days of the week. And how do we do that? Well, how do we do that is very basic. It is like 101 stuff, but it's like doing doctorate work to do the implication of it, to do the actions of it. So here's your first point. Choose to invite God to fill your mind with his love. Be intentional. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a Sunday morning thing. It's an everyday thing. Be intentional. Choose to make a choice. Simply to make a choice. And to do that, some of the busy stuff may hide a little bit. Now, under that, under A there, you do that through prayer. You choose to pray. We have talked a lot about that, haven't we? And praying. But there's a couple of thoughts I want to give you this morning. Prayer will put you on God's agenda. Think about that. When you go to God and start praying, it's not all about me. God, I'm yours. What is it that you have for me today to do or need to be aware of? You put you on God's agenda. Secondly, prayer will help you to recall Scripture. I didn't realize that until maybe years ago when you start praying. Suddenly, parts of Scripture start coming into mind. And if you're having a hard time with that, really, just kind of initiating that, Psalms 25, 4 and 5 says this, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God and Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Psalms 25, 4 and 5. The psalmist didn't say, show me my way. Show your way. You teach. Show me your truth and lead me, and you're my hope all day long. Awesome thing. Another thing, prayer will help you listen to God and respond to him. We do a lot of talking in prayer. We really do, and there's nothing wrong with that. How much listening do we really do to hear God speak in our hearts? That's what we need to be working toward, more so than even doing verbal prayers, is listening to God. And the last thing on this, prayer allows you to experience the power and greatness of God's love. You want to experience God's love in a fresh way? Pray more. Wait on the Lord. And you only have experienced the love of God like maybe you haven't had in a long time. So that's a prerequisite, okay? Prayer. Second thing in our 101 thing here this morning, choose God's word. Choose God's word. This thing is awesome. It may be hard to understand at times, but choose God's word. And what's involved with that? Again, if I put everything on the screen or on the notes, you would have pages. You couldn't. It would just be everywhere. So some of this clicks with you today. Just write a side note down. In God's word, we will find hope and godly clarity for our minds. How about that? If we don't need clarity today, we really do. And you'll find it through God's word. And the hope it talks about is like a helmet that protects our mind and from discouragement, evil thoughts, and despair. In Ephesians 6, it refers to it actually the helmet of salvation. What is that? You come to know Christ as Savior through your mind first, as Savior and Lord, and that flushes all the way through your soul and your spirit, and that helmet acts as a protection. It acts as a protection for our thoughts. It acts as a shield, and it restores. So when you read and you see the hope of salvation, that refers to the mind. That's like putting on the full armor of God, and that's another whole thing, and a number of you are studying that and heard great things about that, but that helmet is where it starts. You can have all the other stuff, all the armor of God on you and with you, but if your mind's messed up, you're not going anywhere. Bottom line, you're just not going anywhere. But God can take you to places and do things you may not even imagine. So that helmet of salvation is important to us because it keeps us from all those bad feelings and thoughts. And even Jesus prayed this because it refers to the truth. In his priestly prayer, 17, verse 17, sanctify them. That means that's something that's changing daily. Sanctify them by your truth. He's praying not for his disciples, but for all of us. Pray that they will be by your truth, and your word is truth. The word of God changes the way you think and the way you act, and it is a lifelong process. Okay? Got that? Let's go to the next one. Number three, I think. Choose to be Christ-focused throughout the day. That is the biggest challenge for us, don't you think? Every day during the week, when we're doing our works, whatever, doing our errands, and whatever we do, it's easy to come here, but to take all of this out there is huge. And you need to be Christ-focused. That is, because Jesus said himself, no one comes to the Father but through me, through him. Everything comes through him. Forgiveness, grace, all those things come through Christ. So, to keep Christ focused, Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Being Christ focused removes the clutter and garbage out of our minds. It'll do that. But also lead to have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Well, think about it. If we have the mind of Christ, Christ's mind and God's mind are one. That means everything is available to us through Christ, through his life, through his action, and through his mind. This simply means having his direction, his character, his self-sacrifice, his attitude. Talking about an attitude adjustment, you want an attitude adjustment? Go through Christ. Choose to be Christ-focused, and that will really solve perhaps a lot of things in your life. His humility. Now, this is what Philippians 2:5-6. If we're going to have the mind of Christ, this is coming, and I know that's a lot of scripture for you to read up there, kind of small, but I will read it for you too as well, and you follow along. Philippians 2:5-6. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being the very nature of God, did not consider be equal with God, something to be used to his own advantages. To his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, as having the mind of Christ, having a servant attitude, having a servant heart, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Wow. Did you know that, just a little sidebar here, that the Christian culture in America, North America, is called an anomaly compared to the rest of the world? Not nearly a bad thing, but most of the rest of all the other Christians don't approach even worship God in the way that we do. Why? Because when you surrendered your life to Christ, you will be asked, are you prepared to die today? Give up your life. Think about that. Are you willing to really give up our life? Just like Christ gave up his life for our sins so we can have a relationship with him, we can spend eternity in heaven. When we come, the followers of Christ, we are to be sold out in the same way, in the same manner. And when we're not focused, get off track a little bit, you know what starts to happen sometimes? Sometimes we may change directions in a lot of different ways. We start looking for other things that make us happy or fulfilled, such as a job. You get a job. Oh, I like this job. 3 months, I hate this job. After a year, I'm done with this job. You know, some have said it so much, they've done wild stuff. Have you seen on TV from jumping out of airplanes and going down chutes and all that kind of stuff? Change to make something fulfilled. Other things is in relationship. Bounce from relationship. One, oh, I like this person. I love this person. Nah, I really like that person over there. Nah, let me go back and forth, trying to fulfill something. I'm talking about something that is dominating your life. Yes, changes are good and they happen, but if things like this are dominated, then perhaps we're distracted. We're no longer focused on having God's love permeate our minds and us moving that way in our spirit as well. So, next one. Number 5 here, or 4, whatever's on yours. So mine, number 4, renew your mind for God's glory and purpose. And that's why all the things that have been said today is simply this, come to this point, to renew your mind for God's glory. Now, how do we do that? Well, first of all, make your mind not to give up. Make up your mind not to give up, okay? You and I face so much stuff, even from best friends, relatives, some things about our faith, or we do stuff that just, man, it keeps coming back. He's coming back that you know is not godly. We want to give up. Do not give up. So you fell off the wagon. And I went through therapy years ago. They teach you how to walk around the hole, the big ditch, the hole in the ground. Well, maybe you walked straight into it and fell face first. God still loves you. And God still wants the best for your life and my life. Why give up? Because you messed up. Probably won't be the last time. But you can come to God and you can learn and you can grow in that. So don't give up. And here's what he said. Here's a cool thing. Set your minds on the things above and keep it set. In other words, call upon the grace and the name of Jesus Christ, and he will give you the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome every evil tendency completely and fully. That's what you do. And you don't wait until the end of a day or the next Sunday. When stuff comes your way, you take it, you receive it, you pray unto God, you give it to him, and he will take it away. And you are courageous when you do that, and we're going to look at that next week. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound what? Body?" Oh, boy, if that was, I'm in bad trouble. I've already had stuff taken out, and Pastor Johnny's had more stuff taken out. No, you know what it is. It's our minds. Are we all getting this morning? Because we talk so much about the heart, we forget everything begins in the mind first, the all way of thinking. That's where it begins. So make up your mind. Second, take every thought captive. That used to bother me for many years. Because if I said, "God, if I take up every thought captive, I'm not going to be able to think because I'm thinking about this and stuff. No, what it means is to control, to conquer, and to bring into submission. So if there's a thought of temptation coming in your life, you take control, give it to God, put it in submission in the name and in the power of Jesus Christ, and kick those thoughts out of your mind, kick those evil thoughts, kick those temptations out of your mind. You can do it, but it's a process. You have to keep God's love in the forefront. Another thing, I just said that, ask the Holy Spirit to lead in your thoughts. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead in your thoughts. And I love this, never give up on learning. You know, I went back to school 5-6 years to work on the doctorate. God just led it to do that in the area of worship ministry. But I learned so much more about other things and about people than I did about worship. Learned so much more about God. And learning has another name. You know what it means? Disciple. Disciple means to become a learner. And that's what some of our Sunday school stuff is about. Matt's going to be, and us going to be presenting some fall programs on small groups where not only is there more discipleship, but you do life with people. You know, you can really talk about real stuff and pray, but learn what God's doing in your life. Discipleship means learner, to become a learner. You cannot be a disciple of Christ without being a learner. Think on that. You can't be. You can belong to Christ, you can go to heaven, but you can't be a disciple of Christ without learning. So work and pray of being in learning. Surround yourself with godly people and Christians and hang out with those who love God. Now, we come to a question here this morning. Where has your mind been hanging out lately? And in other words, what's been dominating your thought? When I think about that, I think of a movie here a while back with May 1935. Has a character as my favorite character in it. And he's called the Scarecrow. It's in the Wizard of Oz. Everybody knows what he was wanting. What does he need? "If I only had a brain." Da-da-da-da-da-da. And he went like that. Well, we know the Scarecrow had a brain or he wouldn't be functioning. His mind wasn't challenged. How could he? Hanging out in the cornfields 24/7. Sea of nothingness. Nothing to challenge him with. By the end of the movie, as a metaphor, he was given a diploma. Then he started to think all these equations and things like that. Now, why did I share such a dumb thing? Well, our minds can hang out in a sea of nothingness, sea of words, a sea of sin, which is nothingness. Wherever our mind, whatever's dominating your mind this morning, whatever you're thinking about the most, in a real sense, that can become your God for the moment, your idol for the moment. And God doesn't want us to live that way. He does not want us to live that way at all. Romans 8:5-6 says, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things." obvious. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? Death. Not just physical death, death in relationships, death in communication with other people, just pure death in your mind or relating, whatever that death may be, it leads to it. But the cool thing is, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? Life and peace. So what do you want this morning? Life, peace, or death? I don't think there's any in between, because the other leads toward death, a mind that is not controlled by God's love. So let's put this into practice. We mentioned this earlier in the service or in the message here. Now we're going to close it out with this. Put it into practice, lies to truth. Found this in a book, and we could have done a whole lot of stuff like this. If you have a thought in your life where it says, I am unworthy, believe that is a lie that God did not give you, or somebody else might have even told you, but that is a lie of Satan. That is a lie from evil itself. The truth is, you are holy, you are blameless in Jesus Christ. So am I. Holy and blameless. Ephesians 1:4 says, even before he made the world, God loved us, chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Hallelujah. If you belong to Christ this morning, you know that God is the Savior and Lord of your life. You're a holy and blameless. Even with all the stuff we may do, that's the truth. So you may want to put that into practice. Any kind of thoughts, any kind of temptation thoughts that you have, what does God's truth say about it? And the next one we listed earlier on is the lie, my life is insignificant. Remember I wrote that earlier? Well, guess what God says? For we are God's masterpiece. Wow. Do you look at yourself as a masterpiece of God? Probably not, or even believe it. But that's what he says about you. And I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about the inner you, the true you, who you are. He has created you anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. So Romans 12:2, back to it in a little bit different text here. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of what? Your mind. What is that? Changing the way you think. For then you will be able to test and prove that what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that's what we want to do this morning. We're going to take the opportunity to let God fill our minds again afresh and new, if he hasn't already. I'm going to ask our instrumentalists to come up, and they're going to, when they start singing and playing and worshiping, what needs to be renewed in your mind this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ truly as Savior and Lord? Has he come into your life and radically changed? Or is this something that you've gone along with church a long time and it sounds good, but maybe so? Not sure. Today is the day. Today's a good day to do that. So if you want to come and pray down here at the altar, you can. You can pray where you are. But we need to ask God to help us to invade our minds again and to refresh our spirits and renew, kick out all the junk and the garbage that may be there even right at this moment. And you know what that is. So does God. So, as a quote from a movie, God is out to free our minds, to be totally free in Jesus Christ. Let's stand in worship. And if God is leading you to do something this morning through salvation, praying, joining this fellowship, you come now as Tim leads out, okay?